Amen. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to superintend our worship. He's the one that opens our hearts to the truths of God. He's the one that opens our hearts and gives us desire to hear them and then to apply them to our lives. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our power and our advocate. As we worship, he's before the throne of the Father, advocating for each of us. So is Jesus, by the way. And so we have a couple of good intercessors for us in heaven, don't we? Let's proclaim the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit many times is compared to water. Let the river flow. Oil. There's a number of analogies, but we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Would you sing, please? How many of you have seen the greatness of God this week? Even the weather we've had, right? Just incredible, the skies and all. We've seen the greatness in God as he works in and through people. And as we sing this song, let me just set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. in order to serve in the kingdom of God, of course, you must be born again, right? You have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But beyond that, it takes a willing heart. A heart that is willing to move in the greatness of God as he leads you. And if you think that God might be calling you to something to do that's out of your comfort zone, chances are you're right. All right? But he is great, and he doesn't call us to do anything for which he will not equip us. He will guide us and lead us if it's truly of him. So would you proclaim this morning the greatness of God? Singing. Would you be seated, please? I purposely backed off on the drums because I wanted to hear you sing. You blessed my heart. Thank you. think we found our new drummer for upcoming years. Lively. The awesomeness of God. I'm going to ask you if you would read the psalm with me. And this almost ties into what we did on Wednesday evening with the class up in Toms River. We talked about the fact that God values music. And the reason why he values music is because he created it, right? And music has a way to speak to hearts. And so, would you read this with me? This is Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. Amen? Amen. You know, it's we have to be reminded. I just want to ask you a quick question on this. In the line that says, we proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, I wonder how many of our days would go better if we did that. Wake up proclaiming God's love and then look back on the day and night and see how God has worked in and through our lives. And I suspect we'll see God's hand more and more in that. So God is incredibly good. For the prayer this morning, I want to continue to pray for our country, for our cities. I really believe, and it's too bad that the media is so biased. I really believe that the March on Washington should have been televised nationally. It was peaceful. It was praying for peace and praying for our leaders. Romans 13 commands that. It says we are to pray for our leaders. Doesn't matter what party, we are to pray for our leaders. What do we pray? That they would look to God, that they would come to him for their wisdom, for their direction, hear from him. And as you well know, there are many in power who would want just to keep God out of the picture and pursue their own plan. And I suspect that God kind of laughs when he sees this, because he shouts at us to say, don't you know I'm still in charge? Don't you know I'm still in charge? There have been police officers shot, ambushed. Businesses have been burned out. And these were businesses that many of these people worked in. They were burned out. Ruining neighborhoods, ruining people's lives, ruining any hope of peace. And yet, there's this crazy movement to defund the police departments. I really believe we're living in the time of Isaiah where he says we call good evil and evil good. That's dangerous. That is very dangerous. So would you join me in prayer, please? Our Father, we pray that you would bring us back to the principles of the Scriptures, to knowing that the Scriptures stand true forever, that the interpretation, Father, of the Scriptures and the application of the Scriptures, Father, is the same as yesterday and today and will be the same tomorrow. I pray, Father, and thank you for Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham organization, Father, that organized this tremendous march yesterday. And in that light, we pray for President Trump and his family, Vice President Pence and his family. Father, these families go through agony to serve you. Father, we pray for the members of Congress that they would look to you. Come back to your principles. Come back to your guidance rather than struggling for power and prestige and popularity. I pray this even on the local levels, Father, the governors, the mayors, that they would begin to understand that there are principles beyond them that should guide them as your word guides, as your spirit guides. Father, for the inner cities, we pray against this spirit of chaos, this violence that has been in many of the major cities and now flowing into the suburbs. Father, we just ask that we would stand against that, that you would bring a spirit of peace and prayer back. And Father, for our men and women who protect us, who put their lives on the line every day as they perform their duties to protect and serve, for our police, would you encourage them this day? Would you just tell them in your spirit to theirs that there are many who appreciate what they do and they're needed? We pray for safety. We pray for just a shield around them as they try to navigate tough times. And Father, I pray for a revival in your church. I pray, Father, that you help us to be ready for that revival should you send it. And I pray also for our country that you would send a spiritual awakening. I particularly want to pray for our students, college, high school, junior high or middle school, excuse me, and grade school. Father, many of the things that they are being taught now are just flat out wrong. Father, help parents, give them training so they can discern what is right in God's eyes and what is wrong. Father, would you protect our children? Would you watch over them while they're in school? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We got a couple of amens outside. So we have a lot to pray for. Just to keep you aware, there is a debate, a presidential debate on Tuesday evening, 9 o'clock, I believe. So if you want to stay informed, watch the debate. And we have the privilege to vote. Exercise your vote. Vote the principles of the scripture. Exercise your vote. If you don't vote, then your voice isn't heard. Many people have died to protect that right. So please vote. If there are anybody who hasn't registered, I don't know when the deadline is, but check it out and register to vote. Okay. If you turn into your Bible, Acts chapter 6, we're going to start that. These next couple of chapters focus on Stephen. We're going to just start it today and then go into it a little bit deeper next week. And I'll give you some background in a minute. But I titled the message, Help Wanted. There's times where God posts help wanted. Now, I want to be very clear about this. God doesn't need our help. True? He doesn't need our help. But if we want to be blessed, if we want to be a part of what God's doing, if we want to see the incredible hand of God, then he asks us to participate willingly and submissively, if I could use that word. I know it's a bad word today. Isn't that a shame? Submissively to his will as he works in and through ordinary people to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So, could God have parted the Red Sea without Moses? Of course he could have. But he chose to use Moses, right? What did Moses have to do? Do you remember? Nobody remembers? Yeah, he had stuff he needed to do by faith, right? And, you know, Moses did it by faith and God parted the seas. Just like us, we are the body of Christ. And God will ask people in the body to do things that need to be done. And I just want to say at the outset, there is no ministry in the church that's more important than the other. All right? I don't care what it is. There's no ministry in the church that's more important. We need all of them. We need all of them. And so we're at a point here in Acts where a problem arose. Let me show you what the problem is. Here we go. If you want to follow, starting in verse 1. Oh, all right. I'll come back to that, Em. Okay. So bring me back to Acts 4, verse 1. Acts 6, I'm sorry. Verse 1. Should be there. There you go. Here we go. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the church was growing. You know why the church was growing? Because persecution had started. The pressure was on. And Peter and John and the rest of the disciples said, look, we know the pressure's on. We know the government doesn't like us. We especially know that the religious powers don't like us. But guess what? We're going to keep going and obeying God. So in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against them because the Hebrew Jews, against the Hebrew Jews, because the widows were being overlooked in daily food distribution. Now, let me unpack this for you a little bit. The Hellenistic Jews were Jews that were outside of Israel, all right? Most of them spoke Greek. The Hebraic Jews were Jews who spoke Hebrew and Arabic, all right? So, you know, as the church spread, you know, there were Jews who were saved and many of the other countries involved, and there seemed to have developed a slight divide here because a lot of the Greek-speaking widows, you could probably add orphans in there, were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, there was a lot of poverty back then. There's still a lot of poverty now, isn't there? Unemployment rates are still high, right? Most people live over their heads. And, you know, either you're underemployed or you might be unemployed, but poverty, you know, is still an issue. Let me give you a little bit of a statistic. It used to be in this country that evangelical churches would be able to take care of the widows and the orphans. And it was like that until, guess who got involved? The government. When the government got involved, it tied the hands of many churches. And so they couldn't perform this function as it should. So you know what they do? They raise their taxes, right? Instead of letting the people give to the church who can do this probably more efficiently than the government can. But this is what was being done. This was the early days of the church. So the problem was identified, all right? You can't address a problem until you identify it, correct? So the problem has, you know, was identified. We need to recognize the problem at hand. The church was growing fast. There were people who were being neglected in the process. And the neglect caused some to go hungry, right? So it's a pretty substantial problem. Jews who had the means to do it were glad to give food and resources to others. This is probably part of their background because if you read the law, and still there are many of our Jewish friends today who believe this, that by giving to the less fortunate, they earn God's love, right? So it's called a mitzvah. Have you ever heard of that word? A mitzvah, okay? A mitzvah means a good deed. So it's a good deed. We all know that we can't earn God's love by good deeds, that God showed his love to us through what Jesus did on the cross for us. But the Jews were in the habit of helping when they were able to. So they kind of had to reorganize and redirect here. And no one person can or should do it all. Even in a church of this size, no one can do it all. And nobody's asking. God would never ask anyone to do it all. But God would say, you can do something. You can do something. And God provides and equips helpers. Don't make this mistake. I just copied this illustration. I want to share it with you. There's a clever man in every church named somebody else. There's nothing this guy can't do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. You're asked to do this or you're asked to do that, and what is your reply? Get someone else to do the job. He'll do it much better than I. And you know who ends up doing the work? A person called nobody. This is a common problem in the American church. You guys are great, by the way, okay? But in the American church, this is a common problem. We assume somebody else is going to do it. Or we assume somebody else could do it better. You'd be surprised if God's calling you to do something, truly calling you to do something, that he may want to surprise you and show you that as you rest in him and as you move in the power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to his word, how much you can do. If you can't do it on your own, but when you're connected to Jesus, how much you can do. Now, having said that, that assumes a couple of things. That assumes that we are qualified. Now, when you say, what do you mean when you're qualified? Doesn't mean that you have degrees. It doesn't mean that you went to the right schools or the right seminaries. Not at all. The quality that God looks at is the quality of your heart. The quality of your heart. We know we're sinners saved by grace. Nobody's perfect. So how do we address the quality of our heart? Even on our best days, our motives are mixed. Isn't that correct? Okay? And so someone who is walking with the Spirit, walking with God, will recognize that and confess and repent. And that's when God can use us. Lord, help me not to be distracted. I want to turn from this and I want to serve you. And those are powerful words when we mean them. And God can use imperfect people, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things if we let them. I want you to look at the qualifications. What happened here, look carefully at how this was handled. So the 12, they were the leaders of the church at this point, right? The apostles gathered all the disciples, those who they were equipping, and they had a little meeting, okay? And they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word, right? The apostles were called to teach and preach the word. That was their calling. So they didn't want to neglect that in order to do what? Wait on tables. When they distributed food, they actually would serve the food to the people. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, okay? But in my opinion, a server at a restaurant has one of the hardest jobs in the world. You know, it's not something that a monkey can do, okay? A good server, you know a good server, right? A good server has to have a right attitude. If they don't have the right attitude, you're not going to have a good experience, correct? It's almost like, you know, you almost feel like saying, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. I was invited to preach at another church some years ago. Mary Lou and I went out for breakfast before we got to the church. And we sat at a table, and a waitress came up to take our order, and we knew something was wrong. You know, everybody's had his bad days. We understand that. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. 20 minutes later, I went to the hostess and I said, the waitress took our order, but we're still waiting. She quit. She just quit and walked out. Didn't tell anybody. She just quit, you know, and walked out. You may think waiting on tables is a menial task. It's not. It comes under service. And we have our heads on right. It is service that can glorify God. That's one of the mottos, by the way, even though they may not explicitly say it, of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A wants their employees to glorify God. They want them to respect the patrons. They want them to thank them, to say, it's my pleasure to serve you. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Would it be your pleasure if you didn't get a paycheck? These people didn't get paychecks. But let's continue here. Goes on to say, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be, what's the first qualification? Full of the Spirit. To serve tables, Lord? Absolutely. Full of the Spirit and what? Where does wisdom come from? God and His Word. So these had to be people who are walking with the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, who give evidence in their lives of it and are bathed in the Word of God because they have wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility over to them. Now, I don't care what ministry you have in the church. These are good qualifications for any ministry, whether it's cleaning, whether it's serving in an office, whether it's doing Operation Christmas Child or serving the high school in the way we do it, the coat ministry, whatever ministry we do, or serving each other. By the way, the ladies had a good fellowship here yesterday. It was a great time of fellowship. And ladies, if you weren't here, I would ask you to consider it. My thanks to Janine and Mary Lou. They did a really good job in organizing it, but yeah, we got the a beep outside, but they were happy to serve, and they saw God's blessing in it. There's one thing about service that I think we miss. You know, we ask somebody to serve, and you know, many times, and I understand this, we're all busy, but many times we'll say, I don't know if I can do it. You know, okay, let me pray about it. I have no problem with that. Do you really pray about it, though? That I have a problem with. Well, let me pray about it. Okay, you know, God will lead you. If you're going to sincerely pray, you know, God will lead you. But here's the thing. When we step out in faith, if God is calling us to a task, waiting tables, doing the soundboard or the multimedia, whatever He's causing, you know, He's leading us to do, first of all, it's important. Second of all, it has to be done with an attitude of thankfulness and an attitude of saying, through this ministry, Lord, somehow, I know You're going to use it to glorify You. And then you begin to see God's hand in it. Because what happens is when we don't do it and we let someone else do it and nobody ends up doing it, we all miss out on the blessings. We all miss out on the blessings. We miss out on experiencing God in a special way. Does that make sense? Okay. So we know the qualifications. By the way, the word that's used here in this passage is diakono. It's Greek. You know what it means? Deacon. And the root of it is a server. A deacon is somebody who serves, right? In some capacity, they serve. And But it's not just an office. This is not talking about the office of deacon. This is talking about a heart attitude we should all have to say, Lord, if this is going to bring glory to your name, I'm happy to serve. I'm happy to serve. We serve lovingly and voluntarily, and we serve the needs of others. The qualifications that were controlled by the Holy Spirit, submitting and empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and controlled by God's wisdom. We need to be students of the Word. We need to be applying the Word to our lives and therefore make God-honoring decisions in all we do. Leaders should lay hands on those who serve. Now, this is a little bit foreign for us, but I'm going to talk with our leaders because we may start to do this. There's something about leaders laying hands on others commissioned to do ministry that is empowering. I think God uses it, and indeed, we find it in God's words. Look at this. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, remember that name, a man of what? A faith, full faith, and of the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus. You're going to have a quiz on these names. Nicanor, Timon, I want to say Parmesan, but that's not it. Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, and a convert to Judaism. So seven men who they saw in these seven men, the qualifications of being controlled by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God's word. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. They commissioned them. They commissioned them to serve tables. Wow. How lightly we take stuff sometimes. This was going to be a ministry that God would use in a mighty way. How much more important can it be to serve tables? Now listen. Whenever we step out by faith and respond to God's calling, there's results. You know, Newton came across a great law many years ago. For every action, there's an equal and what? Opposite reaction, right? Well, here you go. You have the apostles and the early disciples taking a step of faith, and they probably had Moses in mind because remember when Moses... Israel really started to grow, and Moses got overwhelmed. His father-in-law, Jethro, went to him and said, Moses, you can't do it all. Delegate. Delegate. Choose qualified people. Delegate. Moses did that, and the result was great. The apostles did that with the widows, and the results was great. Look at the results in verse 7. So the word of God spread. The church kept growing. You know why? Because the apostles and the teachers had time to spend studying the word, time to preach it, because they knew the people were being taken care of by good people, and they could devote themselves to what God's called them to do. The number of disciples in Jerusalem rapidly increased, and a large number of priests became obedient. That, you know, we skip over that. You realize the priests were part of the religious establishment. They didn't like Jesus, okay? But in the process, as these priests saw how people loved one another, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ, many of them came to faith. Boy, that must have upset some people. Whew. You know, we have to understand that God equips every church. Can we go back to the Ephesians slide, please? Okay. There are theologians who call this, Paul, this is Paul writing in Ephesians, who calls this the fivefold ministry of a church. And the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because I want to show you that no matter how big or small the church, God will, Christ will equip it to do what they're called to do. So would you read this with me? Are you ready? So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, you know what that's saying? That's saying that God gave leaders here, apostles, and I don't want to break this all down today, but God still does this, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what purpose? To equip the body, to serve him. So our job is to equip you where God is calling you, lay hands on you to commission you when that calling is confirmed, and release you for ministry. Because one person can't do it all. One person can't do it all. And the end of this is edification and to help each other mature. Do you know, one of the great things, for instance, I'll use the Coke giveaway. When we come and set up on Friday night, we have fun. But it's a good time of fellowship. We know that we're doing this for a greater purpose. We know that there will be people coming in who God sends here for whatever reason to get a winter coat so they can stay at least warm, And if we never see them again, so what? God knows. God knows. And who knows? We don't know. We don't know what the future has. But we, as we serve, part of service is helping us to reach maturity. Because the more we serve, the more we get to know Jesus. And the more we get to know Jesus, the more we want to serve. And we start to become mature. What does that mean? We become a little bit more like Jesus, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So where are we going with all of this? It's very simple. Let me just reiterate this as I close. And we're going to look at Stephen in particular in the coming weeks. But I want you to understand that every ministry in the church is just as important as preaching and teaching the Word of God. Singing, the musicians, the technical people, whoever cleans the church, whoever does any type of ministry, prayer ministry, greeting ministries, anything like that. It's all important. It's all part of the body life of the church. Paul likens in Corinthians 12, by the way, he likens the church to a human body. Christ is the head, and he gives gifts to Christ followers to fit into the body very specifically so the body works well and functions in harmony. If one of the body parts stops working, guess what's going to happen? You know how important your big toe is? God forbid you lose your big toe. Your balance is off, right? And we look at a big toe and we say, gee, that's ugly. You know? No, it's part of the body. We need everything functioning so we can work in a healthy way. So what do we need to do? In growing problems or whatever problems we face, the first thing we need to do is evaluate the problem. Identify it and evaluate it. The second thing, we look to God and his word for wisdom and guidance for an appropriate solution to the problem. Third, we look for qualified leaders, full of the Spirit and full of the wisdom of God. And fourth, we delegate the work. We delegate the work that needs to be done so the problem can be resolved. That's laying hands on people and releasing them for ministry. And that doesn't mean leaders don't oversee. What it does mean is that now the the leaders of the church can devote the time to what God called them to do. And if I read the scripture right, then the church will increase. The church will increase. Let me give you one last thought. If each of you invited a friend out next week, we would double in size. It's pretty simple, right? We would double in size. Of course, we can't have them in right now, but they may have to stay out in the parking lot if they're willing. But we can double inside. And then if they come to Christ, if they invite their friend, now you triple in size. As people, the outcasts, the disenfranchised, people who sometimes maybe we wouldn't associate with, they were attracted to Jesus because of his love for them. If we are the body of Christ, then I hope others will see the love we have for Jesus, the love we have for one another, and the love we have for them, so that they know we have something special. And maybe God will draw them to hear what it is. Maybe you're going to tell them about it. Oh, Pastor, I can't share the gospel. Yeah, you can. Just tell your story. Just tell you, it's as simple as that. Just tell your story. And you'll be surprised what God can do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I really do want to thank the ladies yesterday for participating in the ministry. Pray for Janine and Mary Lou as they continue to go forward with this and the other ladies. Men, we got to keep going in ours. If nothing else, pray that we can get to the point where the governor will say we can bring food back, because our men miss the food. They don't miss the Bible teaching. They miss the food, you see. But just to keep you aware, we're going through Blackaby's Experiencing God. And it's a powerful study. If you ever want to read the book, I'm going to put my copy in the library when we're done. You're welcome to look at it. It's going to make you uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. God is good.
All the time.
How great is he? How wonderful is he? I mean, it goes beyond words. But you know what? There's no greater power in this world than the power of God's love through Jesus Christ. Would you stand and sing, please? May that be the prayer as we leave today, that we move in the power of his love. If you're here today and you think that God doesn't love you or Jesus doesn't love you, come see me. He does. Even when we are unlovable. Doesn't mean he likes us at that point, but he loves us. He never stops loving us. And there's the one thing we can count on in this world is the love of Christ, because nothing can ever separate us from that. God is good. Let's pray. Father, would you release us in the power of the Holy Spirit? And Father, this week, as we have opportunity to serve, whether it's at our jobs, in the schools, in the homes, in the church, help us to serve with hearts that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the wisdom of the Word, and hearts that are willingly and voluntarily serving you in your kingdom. Because God, to you be the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Be blessed.